chapter 6. It's good that she's back, though. And let's stand together and begin reading here in verse 1. And I do have a lot to say. I don't think I'm going to be able to say it all tonight, but we'll get started anyway. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Therefore," when you see that you've got to know that there's something before that leads up to this. But let's just read this and then we'll talk about that. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ," the doctrine of Christ is the gospel, okay? The gospel, the saving power of the gospel. "We're supposed to leave those principles of the doctrine of Christ and let us go on unto perfection." God doesn't want you to just get saved and stop. He said, "Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Let me preach to you tonight and probably, well, anyway, get started on this thought. Jesus is better than sin.
Amen.
Jesus is better than sin. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help tonight. We are indeed sinners saved by glorious grace. We have nothing to rejoice in except for your abundant grace. Now, Lord, please tonight fill me with that grace, with your Spirit. I yield myself to thee. I do not want to say anything, Father, please, that is not from heaven. Please, God, fill me, fill this place with a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you look back to chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again." See, God saves, listen now, God saves you, and then he teaches you, and then he expects you to turn around and be able to teach somebody else. Not everybody's going to be a pastor, but there's children that need to be taught. There's lost people that need to be taught. There's all kinds of things that we need to be. But the Bible here is scolding these Jewish believers a little bit. He says, it's time. You ought to be teaching other people by now. Now, aren't you glad we don't have a time frame in there as far as, okay, it needs to be 3 months and 2 days and 4 hours. Otherwise, you know, what you'd do is, if you're like most people, you'd wait till, an hour beforehand. Say, okay, I've got an hour to learn everything I need. But the point is this. There is going to come a time in your life, dearly beloved, where God's going to look at you and say, why aren't you teaching?
That's right, man.
Why aren't you teaching others? He says, the time you ought to be teachers, he says, you have need that one teach you again. In other words, you don't even know, you have to be taught again.
Right.
Notice verse 12, the first principles of the oracles of God, the Bible, the first principles, the baby steps, if you will, and become, it says here in verse 12, and are become such as have need of milk. Babies drink milk.
Right.
It says not of strong meat. See, grown-ups drink meat, or eat meat. We eat meat. I don't know if you drink meat. I've never tried that, but the point of this here, notice in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. God's saying that if you're still at the very beginning, now listen, it's not time for all of you. Everybody's in a different place in their life. Okay, so don't think this is speaking to you if you're not there yet. But listen, there is going to be a time in your life, as there is in every believer's life, to where they should be taking the things that they've already learned and teach other people.
Yeah.
That therefore, then we can perpetuate the gospel. We can move it forward because nobody learns material better than the teacher. But he says, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, given those who by reason of use Now he's saying something right there. The reason you don't know these things is because you're not using them.
That's right. Yeah. Maybe.
Okay, you're never going to really know the Bible until you start doing what it says.
It may.
You're going to be a babe drinking milk for the rest of your life.
Yep, that's right.
And God's not pleased with that. God's not pleased with that. That is irresponsible Christianity. That is disobedient Christianity. God says the reason you're still like that is if you're full age. Now again, we're not talking to new Christians. We're talking to those who have been saved long enough to know enough, but yet they're not using it here. It says verse 14, by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Bible, listen, the point of the Word of God, more so than anything else, is to help you discern between good and evil.
Yeah.
Why is it then, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah said to those Jews, he said, you know what? You call evil good and good evil. Yeah. Your mind is backwards. Your ideas and your philosophy is cockeyed. It does not line up with the Bible. Now, here's what I'm trying to get you to see. God wants us to be able to discern good and evil, and then when we begin to really use the Bible to put it to practice in our lives, we'll be able to see this is good and this is evil. We have a generation today, unfortunately, a society today, like you well know, that they are willfully ignorant of the Word of God. Therefore, they don't think good is evil. They think good is evil and evil is good. They think, let's just tolerate everything because it's okay. It's up to them what they do. But yet, if it's evil, it's evil. According to God, if it's evil, it's evil. Yeah. You and me, though, if we don't use the Word of God in our lives, we're supposed to be using it and growing to where we can begin to teach other people what's good and what's evil.
Yeah.
Now, then he says, verse 1 of chapter 6, therefore, He rebukes them a little bit, and he says, you know what? You're not working, you're not serving, you're not teaching because you're not using it. You're not understanding good. Then he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, he says, the reason you're not where you need to be is because you're still at the starting line. You're still at the starting line, wondering what to do next. Now, I'm telling you, unfortunately, fear can take over when you get saved. There's lots of reasons for this, but it does not please God.
Right.
Now, not everybody's at the starting line. Everybody has a starting line. But see, everybody needs to be moving forward, progressing in their Christian life. The only way they're going to do that is by putting into practice what they know to be the principles of the oracles of God. But the human tendency is, well, I'm saved.
Yeah, come on. Right.
That's the human tendency, the nature, because we can justify the reason we're not doing things.
Right.
I'm afraid, I just don't know enough, I just don't know what, I just don't, I've got this other thing. But see, what we've got to realize is what God's saying right here to us is that all of that, listen now, is sin.
That's right.
Whatsoever is not of faith is
sin.
If I don't do something I know I'm supposed to do because I'm afraid to, I'm sinning.
Yeah, man, preacher.
Now I don't like that. Sin is not even the things that you do many times. It's the things that you don't do. You're never going to get out of the fact that you are away from the fact you are a sinner. If I'm not outwardly sinning, many times I'm sinning because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do.
That's right.
There's sins of commission where I commit sins, and then there's sins of omission where I omit to do things what I know I'm supposed to do. Either one of them is sin. And God says that's not pleasing. He says, I want you to leave those things, leave the starting line, get away from the gate, and let's go forward, on forward, growing as Christians. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the reason that people don't do it is sin.
That's right. Yep.
And I, now, here's what you're saying. I don't drink, preacher. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I'm not sleeping around. I don't listen to rock and roll music. I'm not filling my mind with wickedness on television and social media. I know you're not talking to me. Well, I might not be. Unless there's something that you're supposed to be doing that you're not.
Yeah.
Then it's dead center right between your eyeballs.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you.
That's right, preacher. Ball.
If there's anything in this Bible that you've read, or that the preacher has preached about from this Bible and you heard it, and you still refuse to do it, that's sin.
Yeah. That's right, preacher. Yeah. Yeah. Ball.
You are going to be, we are going to be, are accountable.
That's right.
That's right.
You're going to stand before a holy, holy, holy God.
Amen. Yeah.
And He's going to say, I told you to do that.
Yeah. More.
This book, remember, of Hebrews is written to Jewish believers who are just stagnant.
Yep.
In their Christian life, because there's so much pressure.
That's right.
There's so many people saying so much about Jesus.
Yeah.
And about their thoughts and their religion. And so they are full of fear.
Right.
And they have just stagnated.
That's right.
Man. They've just stalled out.
Yep.
In their race. It's no mistake that in this same book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, he says, let us run our race.
Right.
What is he saying? He's saying, you stopped.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
You have stalled out.
Yeah.
You got a flat tire somewhere. Yeah. You ran out of gas, but whatever the case is, you're not going to be able to make excuses, because if God has a race for you, then He has everything you need to run it. You can't make excuses. He is our help. He is our shield. We can rejoice in Him because we can trust His holy name. He's not going to make mistakes. He's put you on a race course, and you have everything you need to run that race. But
come on, preachers, preach.
But apparently, according to Hebrews chapter 6 and the end of chapter 5, a lot of people weren't.
Yeah. Well,
they weren't doing anything. They had gotten saved, and that's it.
Uh-huh. Help us.
And it wasn't because they didn't know.
That's right.
Right.
It wasn't because they didn't know. It's because they were not using what they did know.
Right.
That's right. Man, preacher.
That lack of use was making them unsure about what was good and what was evil.
Right.
Now, I've read this verse to you before. Look in Proverbs 21. But I want you to see this verse. Proverbs 21. This is a very important verse. Proverbs 21, verse 30. This is a very important verse. You need to get a hold of this verse, grab a hold of this verse, cleave to this verse. Do not forget this verse, because it will change your life if you listen. Proverbs 21, 30. Everybody there? Say amen.
Amen.
There is no wisdom.
Yep.
Now, when God says no wisdom, that means no wisdom. That means you will not even know right from wrong.
That's right. Uh-huh.
He says there's no wisdom, nor understanding,
yep,
nor counsel. What does that mean? That means when somebody tells you, including God's testimonies and His Word, or our counsels, when God counsels us through His Word and tells us exactly, God says, there's nothing going to change in your life. Notice why? against the Lord.
That's right.
Because you've heard something that you know is right.
Yep, come on.
But you don't want to do it.
Come on, preacher.
Or you just don't do it, and you think, well, God will understand. There's no understanding against the Lord, guys.
Right. Yeah, man.
I can't make it more plain than what that verse, none.
Man.
Zero.
Yep.
Well, I just don't understand. That's why.
Yeah, amen.
Because you're not using what you know. You're not doing what you know is right. You're not putting it into practice. Well, I know, but...
Come on, preacher. Man.
And God says, okay, no wisdom.
Come on.
You're not even going to be able to tell good from evil. I'm telling you, when you look back at the children of Israel in the days right before they went into captivity, they called evil good. They called good evil. They thought Baal worship was right, and they thought God was wrong. Yeah. Now you say, well, I'm not going to think that way, but you need to watch out. It starts somewhere.
Yeah, man. Come on, preacher.
It starts somewhere.
That's right.
See, the book of Hebrews, you can go back over there, but remember Proverbs 21:30, please. Write it down, memorize it, write it on your forehead and look in the mirror every second. I mean, do something. Remember that verse. Because you're gonna wake up one day and, why is my life such a disaster? I thought I got saved. That's right, there it is. There's no wisdom, because I'm not doing what God says. I'm against the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not in His will.
Yeah. That's right.
And therefore, I don't even know good from evil. I can't even discern. It just seems okay to me. Have you ever said that to you? Be careful. Well, it seems fine to me. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, come on.
Okay. Let me ask you one question. What does God say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yeah, come on.
If you really didn't know, you wouldn't be making excuses.
Right.
Yeah.
You're making excuses because you're justifying what you know is wrong. And God says that's never going to get you anywhere.
Yeah.
You're never going to have wisdom. You're never going to grow. You're never going to be a mature Christian. And you're certainly not going to be able to teach anybody else.
Yeah.
And that's God's will for you, to be able to teach somebody else.
Yeah.
Not to just sit and rot. Okay, here I am, preacher. No. You got to start doing something. You got to start using it.
Yeah. That's right, brother. Come on.
Now, otherwise, you're just going to sit there and rot.
That's right.
No wisdom. No understanding. Now listen, go back to Hebrews 6. He says, therefore... Verse 1. Leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. What does that mean? Okay, you know how you got saved.
Right.
Okay, that's a good start, but it's about time you move forward.
Amen. Amen.
Leave those things and let us go on.
Yeah.
Unto perfection. That's not sinless perfection. That's maturity.
Yeah,
that's becoming a mature Christian. Moving forward in your life to where you know more now than you did 6 months ago. You know more now than you did a year ago. Because you've learned it, you've heard it, and then you've used it.
Yeah,
you're not gonna learn, you're not gonna have more faith just by hearing it. It comes by hearing of the Word of God. I know that, but then you will not have it will not do anything for you. If the Bible says you have to be doers of the word, not hearers only, thereby you're deceiving yourself.
Yes, amen.
The reason God says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God is because you're hearing it in order to respond and do it.
Right.
Not just hearing it.
Right.
Well, I heard it. No, that's not what that word means. Therefore, he says, you've got to leave those things behind and you've got to move forward unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. I've got a couple things I'm trying to do with this message here tonight. That's why I'm going to go slow. Jesus is better than sin. Now listen, let me try to reiterate and help you understand what I'm saying here. To say that Jesus is better than sin, it may sound like a no-brainer, but with people who are at this position in their life, who will not use, who will not do, who will not practice, they do not understand that simple phrase, Jesus is better than sin.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you think sin, again, drinking, smoking, alcohol, drugs, that's what you think sin is. But when you're not doing something, okay, such as, let's just say, tithing. When you know tithing is of God, it's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, it's everywhere in the Bible, it's a proof of your love, it's a proof of your sincerity, of your love for the Lord, and you don't do it, listen, that's where you're done.
Yep, that's right.
And you can argue with me till you're blue in the face, I'm just going to tell you that's what God says.
Yeah, buddy.
You're done. That's it. That's all you're going to do. Tithing is not giving whatever you have left over. Tithing is 10% of every bit of your income. It's not just throwing some money in because you have it left over. It's not just throwing some money in because you have some excess that month. It is 10% of every dime that you make. And until you get that, that's it.
That's right.
That's it.
Amen, preacher.
That's it. That's where you're going to stop. Because you're not using what you know.
That's right.
And therefore, you're not going to have wisdom. You're not going to have understanding. You're not going to have counsel because you're against the Lord.
That's right.
And I don't care what your reason is. I'm sorry, I love you, but God's not going to accept that reason.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
That's right.
It's not going to change God's mind because you have a reason for it.
Come on,
I'm not trying to be a mean or unkind. I want you to think about, do you really think God's going to change this Bible for you?
Man.
That is not wise. God's not going to change this Bible for me. Are you serious? But to say Jesus is better than sin, it shouldn't even be a topic that we even need to talk about. But we're approaching the last days. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're in the last days, I should say. I've not even got past my first introduction. Let's just move. I'm telling you, there's so much. I might not even get started here. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. God is not going to change the Bible for us.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, K-N-O-W. Don't doubt it. You got to know it. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times. Why? Well, people are lovers of their own selves, covetous. The very first thing he puts is covetous. Why is that? Because money is their God.
Yeah.
Covetous. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. That's a sin, guys. To be unthankful is a sin.
Amen.
See, we don't think about that. Come on now. We don't think about that. Disobedient to parents, we know that. But unthankful? Yeah. That's a sin. It's a sign of the last days. It's a sign of you loving yourself, not God. That's a sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Unthankfulness is a sin. But see, we don't know that. We don't think about that. See what I mean? But see, this is the attitude of the last days. Look in verse 3. Without natural affection. Of course, we know what that is. Truce breakers. I'll tell you one thing, but I may not do it. That's a sin. That's a sin as much as murder.
That's right.
You make a truce is an agreement. Shake hands. You break it. False accusers, lying about other people, incontinent. Incontinent, dearly beloved, means you don't have any control over your appetites. You don't have any control over your flesh.
Yeah, come on.
That's a sin.
You mean? Yeah.
But see, this is why we have to preach something like Jesus is better than sin.
Yeah, well.
Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. Now, we're not talking about silver and gold in the Sunday school campaign, traitors. We're talking about those who are unfaithful to God.
Right. Yeah.
You know what a traitor is? Benedict Arnold, right? Is a member of one country, but yet he's going behind the scenes and spying out for the enemy, and he's betraying his country.
Yep.
Listen to me. When you are unfaithful to your God, you are a traitor.
That's right.
Oh. See, the Bible compares Christianity to a marriage. And it's okay for you to be unfaithful to God, but then I guess it's okay for your spouse to be unfaithful to you then, right? Oh, no way. I'd kill her. I'd kill him. Okay, then why is it so easy for us to be so unfaithful to God? You see what I mean? We just don't understand sin, how sinful sin really is. It's not murder and drugs and abortion, guys. It's simple things like being unfaithful to our God, being unloyal to our church, being unfaithful to our word, to the Bible, not doing what we tell people we're going to do. Look what it says, heady and high-minded. Lovers of pleasures, verse 4, more than lovers of God. Now, I want you to notice, it doesn't say they don't love God. It says they love pleasures more.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, look, verse 5 says they have a form of godliness. They're religious, guys.
Yep.
This is a religious crowd.
Yep.
Steeped in sin. Steeped in sin.
That's right.
But they don't even know it because they're doing what they want to do.
That's right. Yep.
They are in love with themselves. They deny the power thereof. The power is the gospel. The Bible says, from such turn away. Now, right there. Right there is something that God's telling you to do. Turn away from that crowd.
Yeah.
Let me repeat what I just said. God said, turn away from that crowd.
Yeah. Amen. Amen, preacher.
Now, don't let that just fly over, guys. God said, turn away from that crowd.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, why, preacher? What do you mean, why? Because they're the reason you're not growing. They're the reason you're going to be caught. A companion of fools that will be destroyed. These guys are fools. And they're living in sin. Oh no, but it doesn't say they're drinking any alcohol.
Oh, Richie.
But they love their money. They love their pleasure. They love their fun. And if God fits in there somewhere, okay, I'll stick him in there. I'll go to church on Easter. But you know, they love everything else more.
Yeah.
This is where we're at. People don't even know what sin is. Most of God's people don't even know what sin is. Look in verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Education is God. God says that, listen, that is not godliness. Yeah. That is not using the Word of God properly.
Yes.
That's never coming to the knowledge of the what? The truth. The truth is Jesus.
Amen.
This is the truth.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 Right.
Look what it says here. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. That's a sin.
Yeah, amen.
What does it mean to resist the truth? I don't want to do what the Bible says. I'm not going to do what the Bible says.
Yeah.
You are lumping yourself in with this crowd.
That's right.
When you say that.
Amen.
Listen, there's nothing in this world that can destroy you once you're saved, other than you resisting the truth.
That's right.
That's it. That's what those people in Hebrews chapter 5 are doing. The Bible says that they're not using what they know.
Yeah, come on.
They're resisting it. It's not that they didn't know, they just resisted it. The Bible says the reason they did that is because they have corrupt minds. Oh man, I don't have time to even talk about this. But this crowd right here will be in church on Sunday somewhere.
That's right.
Yep, that's right.
Yep.
Listen to me. It's not because God's trying to make you unkind or unfriendly. God's trying to warn you that these people are bad news and you need to turn away from them.
Yeah.
Because you'll never go on forward and grow like you're supposed to if you keep wallowing down here with these guys. And you won't even have, please listen to me tonight, I'm getting on my knees and beg you, you won't even have the wisdom to know whether they're right or wrong. Well, they go to church, they believe in God.
Yeah,
come on.
But that's because you don't have any wisdom, because you're not using what God's given you.
That's right.
Amen. That's right, preacher.
You're resisting it.
That's right.
Don't do that. God says, please, go back, start at the beginning, but let's move forward.
Yeah, amen.
Because why? Because the truth is better than sin. Jesus is better than sin. Instead of resisting the truth, why don't you try resisting sin?
Amen.
Amen.
That's what God's trying to say.
Amen.
I mean, when's the last time God tried to hurt you? Come on, you know He's not trying to hurt you.
Amen.
But these people are.
Amen.
They're resisting the truth. They're fighting it in their spirit. They're fighting it in their lives. They're fighting it in their attitudes. They're fighting it in their actions. And God says, turn away from them.
Yeah,
amen. Or you're never going to grow. You got to leave. Listen, move forward. Because this stuff is sin. To say Jesus is better than sin should be obvious. It should be obvious. But again, a society that's willfully ignorant of the Bible. Look in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Let's read in verse 11. I'll tell you what, let's read verse 10. I'm just probably not going to get much further than this, but Paul's speaking here. He says the commandment in verse 10, Romans 7:10, the commandment, which by the way, that's the Bible, which was ordained to life. That's why God gave us the Bible. That's why God gave you for life.
Amen.
Jesus said, I have come that they might have life.
Amen.
But Paul says, but I found it to be unto death. What? Let's look at it. Look what it says here. For sin, verse 11, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. What? What is he saying here? He's saying, the Bible was given for life, but when I began to see the truth about the Bible and Jesus, before I got saved, he's saying, sin took occasion by the commandment, and sin made me believe something that wasn't true about the Bible, and so it slew me. Instead of helping me, I resisted it. Therefore, I was dying.
That's right.
I was dying.
Amen.
Look what he says here. Wherefore, in verse 12, the law, the word of God, is what?
Holy.
Holy. I just read to you a whole list of people that are dangerous, that resist the holy book. But look what it says here. The law is holy, the commandment is holy, and just and good. Look what it says. Was then, look at verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. In other words, it wasn't the Bible that was killing Saul of Tarsus, who came Paul. It wasn't the Bible that was killing him. God forbid. Notice, it was sin.
That's right.
But sin, in verse 13, that it might appear sin. In other words, sin to unwise, lost, and people who resist it, it does not appear sin.
Right. That's right. Yep.
Do you see that?
Man.
Sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good.
Yep.
The Bible.
Amen.
This is good, guys. Amen. This is God's good, holy word, law, commandments, testimonies, justice. This is just and good. This is God's, and it's good, but yet sin will make you think it's bad. Sin will make you think it's not right. Sin will make you resist it.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
But see, what happened is, that's exactly what Saul was doing. He was resisting it. He was kicking against the pricks. The Spirit of God was pricking him with Holy Spirit conviction, just like He is to some of you right now. And you know you need to be changing some things in your life. He's pricking it. And it's not the Bible that's doing the bad. It's the sin that's making you resist it.
Yeah. God
forbid, He says, sin that it might appear sinful worketh death in me, that by that which is good. Notice in verse 13 again, that sin by the commandment, by the word of God, might become exceeding sinful. What is this Bible doing, preacher? What are you talking about? Okay, listen to me. Listen carefully. This Bible was given to you as a mirror to show you the sin in your heart.
Amen.
In my heart. In all of our hearts. You would never have gotten saved if it wasn't for this book showing you the sin in your heart. Now listen, it doesn't stop there. Now you need to get in that book and love the fact that it brings out my sin. Oh Lord, I'm sorry. God help me. Well, that's good. Because He's purifying us. He's cleaning us up.
Amen.
This book makes sin be, notice, exceeding sinful like it really is. But we have a society today who resists this book.
That's right.
Amen.
Oh. They resist it. Why? I just told you why. Because it exposes their sin. So they make another version of it. So they can't completely go without religion, because remember, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of this King James Bible. Inerrant, infallible, infinite, God right here in written form. Why would you resist it? It's perfect. It's holy. It's righteous. It's true. It's good. It's just. It's God. Why would you resist it? Sin.
That's right.
Sin. Period. Period. That's it. Sin.
That's right.
So what do I do? I want to be religious. So I go to the bookstore and find me another version. I want to be religious, so I go find me another church that doesn't worry about my sin. So I go find me another Jesus that's not worried about my sin. So I go lying to myself about I'm resisting the truth.
That's right.
And see, to say Jesus is better than sin, oh, of course, that's right. But see, most of our world doesn't even have a clue who Jesus is.
That's right. Come on.
Because there's only one revelation of Him, and that's this book. This book. This King James Bible. But see, what Jesus does, He said, I've come that you might have life. But you're not going to have life until you come to grips with the fact that Jesus is opposed to sin. Sin. The Bible came into Paul's life, the Word of God through the preaching of Stephen, and just went, and he said, okay, God, I give up. He fell down on his face, and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He quit fighting. And then now he can say, because he stopped going against God, now he's got some wisdom, and he's saying, that's a good book. That's a good God. Jesus is better.
Amen.
See how it works?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It doesn't stop working, though, after salvation. God says, now, go forward.
Amen.
But it's the same problem. Sin. Sin. Sins of my flesh. I'm afraid what they're going to say, what they're going to think. Listen, I'm done. I'm out of time. You and me, as Christians, we've got to do two things quickly. We've got to find out and realize whatever God says is sin is sin.
Yeah.
We've got to come to that understanding so that we're not against the Lord all the time.
Yeah.
If you're drinking a baby bottle spiritually the rest of your life,
yeah,
that's not pleasing unto God. You're going to give an account to God while you went to heaven with a baby bottle and a binky in your mouth.
Oh, preaching.
That's not, but listen, we shouldn't even want that. I mean, there's so much more in this book. There's so much more to this life. There's so much abundant life. Jesus said, I've come that you have life, that you might have it more abundantly. That's not talking about heaven.
That's right.
But see, you've got to understand Jesus is better than sin.
Yes, amen.
But I think we need to start where we feel like figure out what sin really is. If you don't know what sin is, you can't understand why Jesus is better.
That's right.
That's all I'm trying to say. There's a lot more I'm going to say. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I don't know what you want to do tonight, but I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd teach us to love this book, to let this Bible reveal to us what's right, what's wrong, to not place ourselves against you, to not place ourselves at odds with your word, not resist the truth. Lord, we're all sinners. Our flesh is abundantly exceeding sinful. We must humble ourselves and ask you to forgive us. Ask you, Father, to help us move on, grow forward, leave the principles of salvation and move forward, God, in our lives. Lord, we're all at different places, and that's fine. That's where it's going to be. But Lord, every one of us can move forward. Every one of us can still move forward. Can still go on by using what we know, by putting it into practice. Father, we're not worthy of anything. We thank you, God, for Jesus and salvation, your grace, the Bible that showed us the truth. But Lord, it's still that precious mirror that reveals to us what sin really is. Help us, Father, not to resist it. But Lord, to look into it with a hungry heart so that we can go on, so we can grow. Bless your people tonight, Lord. We need your help. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. The music's going to play softly tonight. If you'd like to stand, the altars are open.